So in this 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have studied about the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Sattva, rajas and tamas. Sattva is the mood when I am in silence and peace, when my mind is clear, when my vision is clear, then I am said to be in a sattvic mood. Rajasic is a person who is working, very active in the world, passionate, full of energy. But rajas at times can be contaminated by selfishness, by desire. And that is the second mood, which majority of us function under the rajasic mood, where we work. And then tamas is the last, where the person is very lazy, indifferent to the world, sometimes even becomes fanatic, when we can be very violent. And so these are the three moods under which all human beings function. And Sri Krishna had told us what are the qualities of these individuals who are predominantly sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, and how we can evolve from tamas to rajas and to sattva. And last week Sri Krishna told us very beautifully about the individual who has gone beyond the gunas, who has gunatit, what he calls, who has crossed beyond the gunas. Once an individual does that, Sri Krishna says, he comes to me, he becomes part of me, he becomes part of that total consciousness. He is no longer functioning in the world, affected by the world. He is functioning, but he is functioning from a higher level, from a level of a sainthood or a level of a prophet. And then he goes beyond death. All the joys and sorrows of birth, old age, death do not affect him. So such a state seems very attractive to us because we are all afraid of death. We are afraid of change. Any change there is in our life, we don't like that. You know, the wife will tell the husband, you always were like that and now you don't talk to me like that, or at work, or, you know, anywhere. Change is something that we get very unhappy with. And our life is full of change, birth and growth and then old age, disease, decay. And finally, the final change is death, and we are afraid. And Sri Krishna says, you can go beyond that. Say, oh, wonderful, that's great. So Arjuna, in this section, asks a question. See, the beauty of this Bhagavad Gita is that it is not a discourse where a person is sitting there and telling, you shall do this, thou shall do that. If you don't do this, you will suffer in hell, or none of that. It is beautiful dialogue between the teacher and the taught, between the Lord of the universe, Krishna, and Arjuna, the student. And it is a dialogue where there is no instruction, there is no commandments, there is only advice. And the student is free to take the advice or to reject the advice. The student is free to contradict the teacher. The student is free to ask questions, like in the 6th chapter when Krishna talks about the state of meditation and the technique. Arjuna says, I don't think this will work. He says that. He says, whatever you say, oh Lord, I don't see the value of that. I don't see the utility. So, and then of course he gives the reasons why he does not think meditation will work, because of the activity of the mind. And then Krishna very patiently answers every question. And that's very beautifully illustrated throughout this Bhagavad Gita. So here also the student says that I have seen people under sattva, you know, professors, musicians, great poets, great thinkers. And then I have seen the rajasic people working in the world and involved and producing. And then the tamasic people who are just sitting lazy. But I have not seen people of wisdom, you know, people who are beyond these three gunas. Are there any such people? Actually, he's talking to the Lord himself, who is in human form a manifestation of that, of a person who is beyond the gunas. But he's asking him, what are the qualities of this person? How does he work? So it again shows the Arjuna's, you know, Arjuna is like us. You know, he still has a lot of doubts. He still has a lot of questions. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita appeals to us, because it is our own doubts, our own questions. Arjuna is talking from a level which is very similar to where we are. He is, of course, a very pure soul. He's a very divine individual, but he still has the same doubts and confusions that you and I do. So that's why the Bhagavad Gita appeals to us. That's why it has become a universal scripture, and more people are studying it, not only in India, but throughout the world. The Bhagavad Gita is becoming a universal scripture. So we'll do the Arjuna's question today. Arjuna has three questions. And then we'll talk about the Lord's answers. So verse number 21, chapter 14. Arjuna uvacha, kairlinge strin gunan etan, atito bhavati prabho, kimachara katham chaitan. Trin gunanati vartate. So Arjuna asked, Arjuna said, kai linga, what are the marks? Linga means mark, means a symbol. That's why we say Shiva linga, you know, where the Lord Shiva, who in that form, when we see him in the form, he's sitting there in the Himalayas meditating, you know, with the moon on his head and with the three eyes and, you know, all the ashes. That beautiful, enchanting form of Lord Shiva is symbolized in the Shiva linga, which represents the formless. Linga represents the formless. Just as we say God is form and formless. Somebody asks, is God form or formless? They say there's no argument. If you like the form, Lord Shiva, that's fine. Or you like Krishna, that's fine. But if you say, I don't believe in a form, I see him in all the people. Okay, that's fine too. I see him in nature. I see him in space. I see him everywhere. That's wonderful too. However you wish to worship the Lord of your heart, he or she will bless you. You say, I love God as a mother, as we did, you know, the Navratri, the last 9 days. Beautiful. That's wonderful. You can worship him as Mother Saraswati, Mother Lakshmi, Mother Durga. So whatever form you choose, the Lord manifests in that form. The idea is to develop a relationship of love with God. God should not be, as I have said many times, should not be somebody who is sitting up in heaven, watching over us like a spy, and then, you know, like the NSA, how they're watching all our phone calls. So he's not like that, that waiting to punish us or waiting to torture us. He's all loving, he's all compassionate. The suffering I have is not caused by some external power. It is my own karmas that are causing my problems. And so the Lord is all loving, all compassionate, all kind. All we have to do is turn towards him with love, and our sorrows will reduce. Our problems will get better. So linga means, the marks means, what is the, so here when we say linga means, what are the marks of a trin gunan etan atit bhavati prabho. O Lord, prabho, these three gunas, trin gunan etan atit bhavati, one who goes beyond these three gunas, kair linges trin, what are his lingas, what are his marks, what are his characteristics, how do I identify a realized master? Is he going to have a halo, you know, round his head when he's walking around, or maybe a horn on his head? Or maybe he walks on water, he floats in the air. Is that the marks? You know, we have all these strange ideas. You know, a man of realization should be able to do this or that. Otherwise, you know, like they say, na bina chamatkar, koi namaskar nahi. Unless a person can do miracles, he's not realized. So we have all these funny ideas. So Arjuna asks, how can I find this man of realization? Because I want to find him. I want to know such a man when I see him, man or woman, obviously, such a person, what are his characteristics, and kim achara, and what are his actions, how does he work in the world? Why does Arjuna ask? Because this Gita is not a useless exercise, just a dialogue. See, we should not read the Bhagavad Gita as a dialogue. Okay, Arjuna is sitting here and the Lord is explaining to him, very good, very good, bahut acha. You know, we walk around, aha, I love this verse. The idea is that when I study the Bhagavad Gita, I have to become Arjuna. I have to apply it in my life. I have to use these beautiful verses to change. If I do not change, then sitting here is useless. My talking is useless. If at the end of the study, if our characters do not change, if our actions do not change, then really we are wasting our time. Both of us, me by speaking and you by listening, we are both wasting our time. Unless I change my behavior, I may talk till I'm blue in the face. I may, you know, give 100 discourses, but if it does not come in my life, then it is a waste. And similarly, listening also, like in one place, it says it is like an elephant's bath. You know, like an elephant, when he takes a bath, he washes himself very well. And then soon as he comes out of the water, he takes dust and puts it upon himself again. What kind of bath is that? So similarly, we come here, you know, in one state, and then we learn the Gita very well. And then we go out, and then if we go back to where we were before, then it's like an elephant's bath. You have to change. So that's why he says, what are his actions? So why? Because Arjuna wants to become like that man of wisdom. Arjuna wants to change his behavior because he realizes, I am not there. And that is the benefit, that none of us are at this level of the man of wisdom. But this can become a hallmark for us. Okay, this is how I should change. And then he says, katham chaitan treen gunan ati vartate. And these three gunas, katham cha ati vartate. How does he go beyond that? Because he wants to go beyond it. So he wants to know how do I recognize this person? What are his activities? How does he work in the world? And how can I, following him, go beyond the gunas? So I need to know, how did that person cross? So of course he's asking from the ultimate master, the Lord himself. That's why he says, Prabho, O Lord, please answer that. And we shall see that in the Sthita Prajna, I just wrote that because in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which according to Gurudev is the most masterful verses, are around 60 to 70, the verses are called the Sthita Prajna Lakshanani, the characteristics of a realized soul. Sthita Prajna means one who is established in wisdom. Sthita means established in wisdom, Prajna. So what are the characteristics of a man of wisdom has already been explained by the Lord exhaustively. But as happens, like, you know, second chapter, when did we read it? Many years ago. So we have forgotten. I also have forgotten, by the way, so I'm not any different. So that's why again and again, the Lord again and again wants to remind us, what are the characteristics of this man of wisdom? Why does the confusion come? Why does this person who is lost in the world, what is the reason? The reason is that we all think that I am this body. And that is what we have been taught right from childhood. Actually, right from the time you were a protozoa. And from then we became fish and then became an animal and a bird. I always had this idea, I am this body, I am this body. And from childhood, this idea is conditioned. And we spend all our life acquiring, possessing, working just for this body. Our relationships are with this body. Our possessions are the body, the house, the car, the money. Our achievements are all related to this body. You know, I have acquired so much money. I have this, you know, PhD, or I have acquired this great position. So it may be the body or the mental achievements or intellectual achievements. So all our activities are at this level. And we are always under the influence of sattva, rajas and tamas. And as long as you think you are this body, your life will be only 60 or 70 years. If you think Christ was this body, then his life was only, I don't know, 50, 60, whatever years he lived. If you think Buddha was this body, then his achievements would have been only whatever, 60, 70. If you think Swami Chinmayananda was just that tall figure with the orange clothes, then he left in 1993. He was gone. He passed away. No. But these great Mahatmas, these great prophets went beyond the body. And that's why 2,500 years after Buddha's passing, we are still talking about him. 2,000 years after Christ has left, we still date our calendar from the time when Christ was. Swami Chinmayananda, even though he left in 1993, we still read his books, we still study his Bhagavad Gita. The Chinmaya mission is growing throughout the world because of the one person's vision. So these great souls go beyond the body, mind, and intellect and become one with the spirit. And once you identify with the spirit, your power is limitless. Right now, our power is very limited. You know, I am this limited individual. I can do this limited activity. But one who has gone beyond the body, how do we do that? One of the techniques is the Kundalini. Of course, there are many techniques, but those who do yoga are familiar with the Kundalini. Kundalini is the power at the base of the spine in your sacral area. And most of us waste the power of the Kundalini just in, you know, sense pursuits. But a person who, through proper yogic techniques, through meditation, through knowledge, is able to harness the power of the Kundalini and direct it upwards, and through right knowledge, through the meditation and prayer, then that power becomes limitless. It's like a million volts of power is compressed in this small body of 5 feet, 6 inches. So that's what Arjuna wants to know, that how can I go beyond this body, this limited Arjuna hood, and how can I become a great Mahatma, how can I become a great saint? It's a very, very beautiful question, and we have to appreciate the student that it is because of Arjuna's questions that all of us are able to enjoy this Bhagavad Gita. So this is his question.